Once again, you already know what it is and you already know where you have reached. For the first time in the brand new year, you have reached the number one up-and-coming professional wrestling and combat sports podcast. This is the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly Podcast, and I am your host, Sean Hubbard, and I am so happy and privileged to be with you once again on the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly Podcast to bring you the very best in professional wrestling and combat sports. God bless everybody out there. It is 2020, y'all, and we are fired up to bring you another tremendous episode. The debut episode in this brand new year of the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly Podcast. Been going strong for over 2 years now, and we are so happy to continue this wrestling community, continue this wrestling train moving in the right direction. We're talking about AEW and how things have been going after their first year of operation. I got a big time show for you, and I have a big time guest. But before I introduce you to my guest, I want to introduce you to this, Hoskrea.com. My good friend Alex Bodamarte and his staff over there are doing some tremendous things to make sure that your business projects itself in the best possible light on the internet. If you want the best in web platforming, if you want the best in web development, there's only one place to go, and that is Hoskrea.com. Hoskrea.com, because we love tech. Yeah, man, you already know what it is. Once again, I am your host and founder of the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly Podcast, Sean Hubbard, and I am so fired up to be with you once again on this show. I have a big-time guest in store for you right here tonight. We're talking about All Elite Wrestling, y'all. We're talking about the show that is taking over the wrestling community right now, taking over the wrestling world. It's been 1 year since its inception, January 1st, 2019, and we stand here 1 year later in January of 2020 talking about AEW Dynamite, talking about AEW Dark, talking about Moxley, Jericho, The Bucks, Omega. The list goes on and on and on, and AEW's on fire. But will AEW continue to be on fire? Will AEW be able to compete with New Japan, be able to compete with Ring of Honor, be able to compete with big time wrestling like WWE? Even though WWE, some people love it, some people hate it. It's obviously clearly the number one company in the world of professional wrestling, but AEW's coming, y'all, and we are going to talk about it in full force right here today, January 18, 2019. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness. I'm still saying 2020. Getting ready tonight for Conor McGregor to return to UFC, but right now, we're returning to your airwaves right here on Hubbard Wrestling Weekly, and my guest right here today is a very educated, very smart professional wrestling commentator, professional wrestling journalist, professional wrestling analyst. He is the host of The Ramble. You can find him on Twitter. You can find him on all social media outlets, YouTube, the whole nine yards. He'll give you that information a little bit later. But what I want to talk to you right now about is how he is a student of the game, truly intellectual when it comes to the world of professional wrestling, knows what he's talking about, gives you his honest opinions, based in truth, based in facts, based in what he knows about the world of sports entertainment. And that's why I wanted him on the show. We become friends, we become cool with each other because of our knowledge of the business and also the respect we have for each other's brands. And this guy is really doing his thing. He's a part owner of the Green Bay Packers. This dude is doing everything. He is the one and only Steve of The Ramble. Welcome to the show, my dude.
Well, geez, I didn't know I was that distinguished, but I'm honored. Thank you for those kind words. This is Steve from The Ramble, Steve's Wrestling Ramble. As you said, two-time award nominated. Unfortunately, I wasn't a two-time award winner. I'm honored to be here because you yourself are a very smart, educated man. You know what you're talking about as well as you're the champion here or you know, hosting your show. You're doing big things because I've certainly enjoyed it myself as a fan of yours. So as much as you're putting me over, you deserve the same.
I appreciate that, dude, and, you know, all respect to you and for those listening. And the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes into these shows are so intricate, you know what I'm saying? We got a little bit delayed, but, you know what I'm saying, my boy Steve was more than happy to accommodate, and for that, I salute and appreciate you, man. Listen, wrestling fans all over the world, wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, I appreciate you guys, and we are going to get right into this thing, man. Tonight's episode, debut edition of the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly Podcast here in 2020. We're talking about AEW. We're talking about what many consider the hottest new professional wrestling brand in the world today. I can't believe it's already been a year since its inception, but a year since it got talked about for the very first time. October was the day that their, you know, weekly television show on TNT came out. Pay-per-views, you know, buy rates through the roof. Attendance is strong at the live events, man. It's crazy. AEW is in the building. Cody Rhodes, The Bucks, Omega, you know what I'm saying? Hangman Page, The Elite, all the best wrestlers in the world are in AEW. Of course, WWE has some too, and that's what this subject is about. AEW versus WWE, AEW versus New Japan, AEW versus, I don't know, whoever else, Impact, whatever else you want to throw out there, Ring of Honor. Steve, man, give me your impression. It's a year, man. It's been a year since we first heard about this thing. We're standing here a year later. What are your thoughts on All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah, it's certainly been a wild ride of a first year for AEW, at least in my mind, in regards to hearing about it, not knowing for me if it actually was going to become something, and then it was, and it is, and it's been a big hit, obviously. And from what I've seen from fellow YouTubers and just fans of professional wrestling, enjoying that there is a second option, or they call it a real second option, I guess, if they're not fans of other companies, but second option to WWE or a big boy company here in the States, besides WWE. So having All Elite Wrestling and having a company like that and having options for disgruntled WWE superstars, the fans have gravitated toward it very well. And with anything new, there's always going to be those that are hating on it. And I have, for this year, have enjoyed it and watched it. I've gone back and forth. I, you know, watch AEW, I watch WWE NXT. You know, just as when I was a child, I was watching Raw and Nitro.
Yes.
But usually later on, I would watch full episodes of both or blah, blah, blah. But for 1 year, I do say that AEW has done dang well. Yeah, they haven't been perfect, but coming off the gates, coming off fast with a company that is new, that is learning their own way, Cody Rhodes and the family, doing his best to run this company the best in his mind's eye to be, I think he and the team have done very, very well. They've also been smart in how they differentiate their self from WWE in regards to how they do their show and how they run the business just as much as the show itself, with the storylines as well, a little bit different for WWE, and then the whole ranking system as well, being different where, you know, winning matches matter. So all of that has brought people, I would even say that I've known other YouTubers that come out of the woodwork watching wrestling again. They've been on a hiatus, not watching because WWE's been, we'll just say the word crap, to them.
Right.
You know, so I think that in its own right has shown how big and how instrumental AEW is, because when I first was hearing of it to become a reality and become a company, and then they had that press conference in Jacksonville, Florida, right outside the Jaguar Stadium, the NFL franchise, that I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. You know, I don't know if it's going to last, blah, blah, blah. And then Chris Jericho comes out, and you hear his Fozzy song, and I'm like, oh my gosh, WTF moment right there.
Yep.
You know, and that made my jaw drop, and that also made me think, like, if Jericho's going to AEW and doing it not because he's mad at Vince or mad at someone within the WWE company, it wasn't just I'm doing this to spite McMahon family or WWE, but he believes in AEW as the second option or third option of a wrestling company outside of World Wrestling Entertainment, that I should take this stuff seriously as well, more seriously than I was at that time, honestly. So, watching the product, I've certainly enjoyed it, and I see why people eat it up and love it.
Most definitely. You know, Steve, I look at this thing, and I'm reminiscing about, like you said, Nitro and Raw in those days, and I really remember just being so enthralled with WCW. I was very disappointed when they went out of business. Obviously, the last year and a half were bad times in Atlanta at that time, but you know, it just brings you back to that old school, old time feeling AEW gives you that reminds you of the WCW. There's obviously, you know, things that bring WCW to remembrance, like the fire in the background, the name Dynamite, all that good stuff. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, like you said, the matches count, the old school feel of what wrestling used to be all about. True competition in a sport that's not truly competition, if that makes any sense. So at the end of the day, we're looking at this thing and we're seeing AEW Dynamite every week. We're seeing it go up against NXT, which I still think is the number one brand in WWE right now. And you're saying to yourself, this might work. And to your point, Chris Jericho shows up at the initial press conference and everybody's like, oh my God, this has to be real. Jericho's the champion. Jericho's a believable champion. Jericho's not over the hill. Jericho's not, you know, he may have lost maybe a quarter of a step, but he certainly hasn't lost a step. And, you know, the hottest angle in wrestling to me is the whole Jon Moxley deal. So, man, I mean, AEW's on fire right now. My question now is, you know, you got Ring of Honor. You got New Japan. They just had a tremendous weekend in the Tokyo Dome for Wrestle Kingdom. You know, do you think that these organizations are, like, waving their hand, like, hey, hey, look at us. Don't forget about us now that AEW's on the scene?
I don't know if that's, I don't think that they completely need to do that or are doing that. I think they just need to focus on their own company, do their own thing. And if people seek them out or whatever, they, you know, they will come sort of thing, you know. Build it and they will come sort of mentality I have. Whether that's best business practice, that's just how I am. Because for other companies out there, for the other promotions, like a New Japan or like an ROH, others are strong on their own and have their own rabid fan base. And in regards to trying to get more of a spotlight because of WWE and AEW, particularly, that they just have to still be them. Because if they over-try, if they try to over-please, they might get some fans or new fans, but their hardcore fans aren't going to like it because they're trying to be too much like AEW or WWE. And then also the new fans who may come because of whatever changes might not stay because that is not them sort of thing. So I get that they, you know, would, you know, do more promotions, do more shows in the States, especially with New Japan. But just, I think for them, just be you because you got, you being you got to the dance. Don't change because you feel threatened. Because that in its own right can be your downfall. What got you to the dance, got you to the dance for a reason. You are good companies, and just stay the course.
Stay the course, that's a good way to put it. You know, I really feel like at the end of the day, we have to just continue to admire what organizations like Ring of Honor, what organizations like New Japan are doing. I think Impact Wrestling is coming along nicely. Definitely having their best year and a half in a long time. So, you know, I think Tessa Blanchard is one of the hottest names in the business right now, but that's another conversation for another day. All Elite Wrestling, their weekly television show. Let's get to the brass tacks of this thing, Steve. Is AEW a WCW knockoff? I mean, let's talk about it. I don't think so. Let me preface that by saying I don't think so. But there's a lot of people that do. Is it too much like, you know, Nitro? Did they go too far with it?
Yeah, I definitely do get Nitro vibes from their intro and everything like that, especially in the beginning. And also the way the show is formatted as well gave me some WCW Nitro vibes. But I think in that light, they were going for that, meaning they knew what they were doing. They were going for the nostalgia grab for those that did like WCW. For those that were more of a WCW fan over WWE. So now with this new company here, this other company in the States, that everybody is gravitating toward, as we talked about earlier, and having that little WCW mix of the positive ways, then what, you know, what killed the company, that will only bring more people in to give it a chance. And then when you have them there, right, that's the point of marketing, when you get them there, then your product needs to speak for itself. Then that product also will keep them there. So That was a good in its own way of marketing, getting people, others to come in that haven't already, you know, newer people, the word of mouth, self-promotion, then they keep them there with their show. So yeah, they are being in a way like WCW, at least as from what I've seen in the beginning, but I think they're also trying to, from there, build and create their own image in regards to what they want their show to be in AEW with AEW Dynamite. So I like I said, I've certainly enjoyed the shows and certainly enjoyed the growth that they've already made in this first year as well. So being WCW light at the beginning was fine because there was an nostalgia grab. Then building from that, building an actual own AEW foundation in way of doing your shows a weekly, then, and of course your wrestlers and the product itself will keep them there. And I know I certainly have enjoyed it, every big moment, every match, and how things are done over there, and the differences between AEW and WWE are an intriguing aspect to me, and what brought me over there in general because of the differences. And you know, let's see how this actually works. You know, you can say that things are going to change. You're going to say that these wins are going to matter. You know, everything that they did say and promise. You know, almost like a politician promising all these things. It's about delivering. If you can't deliver, then the fans will see right through your, you know what. Yeah. So, it's about the delivering, and I think so far in this year, they've delivered well.
Most definitely. I mean, it's been 12 months, and now we're looking back over the first year. So how's AEW been so far, Steve? I mean, we're looking at some really nice storylines over there in AEW. I really enjoy the MJF Cody situation that's going on. I'm totally enthralled with the Jon Moxley Jericho dynamic. I'm just speaking about that right now. Last night, or when you hear this episode, ladies and gentlemen, last week when Moxley teased being a part of the Inner Circle and then turning his back, we've seen that before. We've seen that before, but I'll tell you, it was so well done. So those are just a couple examples. How do you feel like AEW's been so far? Like, just entertainment value. I know you spoke on it a little bit earlier, but, like, I mean, is there any special moments that stick out to you since the weekly show started, or pay-per-view-wise? Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there have been a lot of big moments, and I think, I mean, well, maybe not to get into this right now, but I guess to answer your question, I think the biggest moment for me so far in regards to AEW is Jon Moxley and when he debuted and showed up. Even though it was to be assumed, and most of us knew that when he left WWE, his then known Dean Ambrose, that he was going to go to AEW. And for those out there that don't know of me, I am a big fan of what was Dean Ambrose, and when he finished up there and Jonathan Good going to AEW with Jon Moxley, I was pumped and ready and seeing how and wondering how AEW is going to introduce them. What is their plan? And the way that was done was perfecto and excellent. I highly enjoyed and have enjoyed Moxley because it looks like Moxley is enjoying himself. And when a wrestler feels that they can be comfortable being themselves, have creative control of their characters, and just being happy, period, I guess, simple as that, that you see it on the screen with their characters, because they are being their characters, being themselves up 10,000%. And Jon Moxley, even more so than Chris Jericho, has been, to me, the shining star in AEW.
Oh, most definitely.
They have a lot of great athletes, but I think that's the biggest moment that I have in regards to AEW. I mean, of course, with Cody and the sledgehammer moment.
Yes.
That one as well. Like, I was like, dang, gosh darn it.
Yeah, you know, what the heck?
But all in all, you know, a lot of good moments beyond that. I mean, Chris Jericho, like you said, he is definitely not over the hill. And the matches that he's had already in AEW, even, you know, before he became the champion on the road to becoming their first champion, which, honestly, I was a little bit surprised they went that way.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Half of me was happy, but the other half was, I don't know if that was best, but in the end, it's working out fine. Because at first, I didn't know if it was going to be the best, because you're going to have a former WWE superstar right away. Again, you were talking about earlier, the WCW vibes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a WWE person coming into your company, and he's going to be your champion. Yeah, it's Chris Jericho. You know, Hall of Famer Chris Jericho, but still, you know, and I know, and I'm sure you've seen as well, the tweets at that time when that happened.
Oh yeah,
they're WCWing themselves, you know, and I was the one being, hey, Chris Jericho was the best choice. Don't worry, you know, these other ones, you know, you have great talent there in AEW. They will be champions. And also, it was smart not to have Cody Rhodes win the championship early, because you would have people talking about that. You have the president of the company being the champion already. Oh, now he's going to be throwing titles to everybody. Again, WCW-like. But I think that's more on us than it is on them.
It is.
It's our perception. It's what we remember. So if anything like that, even in a small umpth degree, is shown on AEW TV, that makes us think WCW, especially the ones that lived during the Attitude Era, not just those that are younger and relived it, but actually lived it, that we're going to rip them to shreds on social media because of it. And that is, well, I respect the man's opinion, but in a way, kind of dumb. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up as well, because I think those decisions, in the end, have been good decisions by AEW. They know what they're doing.
Your perspective is so solid. And it's solid not only because you're talking about the product, but you're talking about the psychology behind it. And for me, the psychology is what it's all about. It's all about putting yourself in a make a storyline make sense and have it be entertaining. And I think that's the problem right now with World Wrestling Entertainment. You know, on a personal note, you know, a Monday Night Raw will go by and I'll forget to watch. And that is in no way mean that I'm losing my vigor and appreciation for pro wrestling. I've never loved pro wrestling any more than I do now. I watch the WWE Network for old school pay-per-views probably every other day. But when Monday Night Raw rolls around, I'm slowful to move to turn my remote on, whether I'm with my family or whether I'm doing... I mean, even the idea of DVRing it, you know, it just slips my mind. And that is very concerning for me. I know it's early for AEW, but I never miss an episode. So, you know, and again, I say it's early, again, to make sure that I'm being very fair in my perspective that, hey, it's new, it's fresh, everything is sexy and new and nice when it's new and fresh. But I'll tell you what, man, Raw brought back the fireworks, literally, but I don't think they brought them back figuratively. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised that they did do that. I mean, I was happy, but also surprised just in the sense of, again, how perspective, psychology of thinking of, you don't have to, even if fans were campaigning for it and wanting it and needing it back so badly, that have to do that because of what AEW is doing. You know, it's not the fireworks that are keeping people in AEW. It's the actual product that's keeping people in AEW or enjoying that. So WWE, step up your game on that aspect of it. I mean, I can deal with AJ Styles not having pyro. As long as you have good matches and storylines, I'll deal with it. I might not love it, but I'll deal with it. Because if your product is good, your shows are good, and I want to watch Raw, I can't miss Raw. I don't need DVR to Raw. I don't need to put any alarms on my phone to know when Raw starts. I want to and can't wait for Raw or SmackDown on Fox. And if you can do that for me or any wrestling fan, then you're straight. But the fact that that hasn't been the case, and the fact that you're focusing on other things that are not of your actual product itself or shows itself, then that is its own telling issue. You need to focus on what the number one thing is to focus on. Again, I understand yes, fans wanted Kyle back, and that's my respect. And I kind of did myself for Superstars. But that's not the biggest fish to fry for your company, okay? So I think as much as it's nice to have it, you also need to focus on what is the main thing to focus on, and that's on your shows and making them better, making them great again, making them fun again and entertaining again, so you can have audiences at the palm of your hands, can't wait for the next episodes, having those cliffhangers, doing your job as well, because, hey, when WWE wants to play, when WWE wants to have good shows, they knock it out of the park. They actually show up and work, and they actually have a good show, and you can't wait for the next round. And unfortunately, that's only around WrestleMania time, or around the big five pay-per-views, because I do add Money in the Bank to that, that's when they come into play. That's when they have the good shows. But we need it all the year round. We need it all the time. I know there are these B-level pay-per-views, as people call them, mm-hmm. and they are that for a reason. But I always say you need to care about all your pay-per-views. They're not all going to be WrestleManias, obviously. That's why WrestleMania is WrestleMania. But if you do think, even in that mentality, subconsciously, then consciously, you're going to write good stuff for your shows weekly all the time. You won't be burnt out. You won't be annoyed. You won't have disgruntled superstars. And you'll have happy superstars. Superstars doing the job of being excited to go to work. And then they will show on the screen, which then the audience will enjoy it, which then will keep them entertained, which then they will want to watch. It's all from little to big. The littlest things matter. That's why I live by the ethos of everything happens for a reason and everything matters.
Well said. Well said. You know, I think about it a lot, you know, as I'm watching the show and as I do preparations for my show, and I've been on yours as well. It's been a pleasure, man. And it's like, wow, like All Elite Wrestling and WWE on the same night. If you want to call it NXT, you can call it NXT, but it's a WWE product. It's like, man, take me back to 1998 already. But then you start saying to yourself, have we returned to the heyday of professional wrestling, or are we just kind of like having this wishful thinking, kind of nostalgic kind of deal? Because I'm not going to lie to you, man, NXT, it's pretty good. Actually, it's really good, but it ain't Raw from 98. And Dynamite, it's good, but it ain't Nitro from 98. So I think what we need to do as fans is kind of like say, hey, listen, let's not worry about 1998. Let's worry about 2020, and let's just see if we can improve upon what's been going on in the industry thus far. Because New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor are doing their thing. Impact Wrestling's trying to reemerge as a player. And obviously, AEW and WWE have the advantage because they're United States mega companies with a lot of money behind them and a major TV deal. But, you know, show for show, item for item, it's debatable what show is the best. Am I right?
Oh, that's for sure. That's why you have that's why you have a specific podcast talking in regards to the numbers, in regards to getting the ratings each and every week for NXT and AEW Dynamite, and which one was better, and all of that, which, hey, I don't mind finding out myself. But I think it's, like you said, just more of living in the moment, living in this new decade, living in this generation, living in 2020 now. And as much as I enjoyed what was of the late 90s, enjoyed what was the Attitude Era and WWE versus WCW and the Monday Night Wars, you know, now called the Wednesday Night Wars, of course, because, you know, why not?
Yep.
But having NXT versus Dynamite, and WWE NXT versus AEW Dynamite every week should just be something that everybody should enjoy. Whether you're on one side or the other, whether you are, you know, all in with AEW, or you're with WWE, either side of it. Because what I don't like, and there's a lot of things, or there are a lot of little things that I don't like. I barely dislike anything or anyone. But what I do dislike is the BS that is of the crazy, I would call it crazy, the minority of WWE and AEW fanboys that are on their stool saying, AEW is coming here and taking WWE over. We're going to be the number one company. WWE's going to die. You got WWE fans on their end being like, AEW ain't nothing. It's going away in a year. Well, we're in a year, and they're doing pretty well, so I think they're staying. And AEW fans, WWE ain't going anywhere. Shot Khan might have more money under the Jacksonville Jaguars, and his son you know, spearheading, being the principal owner or president of the AEW company, are running it, does not mean that WWE's dying anytime soon. So that's what I don't like. I mean, that's the toxic, you know, the toxic part of it, toxicity of it, of this new Wednesday night war, is the diehards on both sides. You know, enjoy what you enjoy. If you dislike WWE and you really are enjoying AEW because they're different and better and whatever your reasons are, they are valid, and that's awesome. But if you're on Twitter, just say that. You don't need to bring up WWE's name, right? Don't give them any press at all, right? Stick with AEW. Same if you're a WWE fan and you love WWE and you're staying with them, and you don't like change and you don't want to, you know, deal with this AEW crap, from your thinking, then fine. You're entitled to your opinion. Share your opinion on WWE and why you love WWE. Don't put AEW in your mouth or on your tweets or on your mouth, because that's giving them free press. And you're 100% WWE, right? So I think for both ends of the spectrum, of that extreme spectrum, I think they might need to slow their rolls a little bit and really think a little bit more before they tweet. You know, as they always say, you know, look, you know, don't press send if you know, it's not right of whatever you type.
That's a sound point, Steve. And honestly, like, it's sound, it's poignant, and it's accurate, because, you know, number one is never supposed to acknowledge number two. And I don't care if AEW is number two. We all know it's number two. But you're supposed to be going out here, and you're supposed to be planting your flag as, we're the number one brand in American sports entertainment. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. That's the swagger you're supposed to have. That's the swagger you have to have to be successful. Eric Bischoff was saying WCW was number one long before it became number one. So that's the same attitude that AEW should have. And I'll tell you what, WWE, though their product is not what I would like it to be, they certainly don't go around acknowledging number two, am I right?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. And that's the smart thing to do. You know, and not bring it up as often or ever, really. I mean, technically, barely in regards to the Britt Baker thing, but
yeah,
that
yeah.
was
good
the
point.
AEWs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, I think AEW may be bringing it up too much, at least especially in the beginning. But I think now they're focusing, like I said before, focusing on their own stuff and saying they're the number ones and having that mentality, as they should. So yeah, that's a good thing that both are keeping the other mouth, especially on television or on social media.
Yeah, that's a strong point, Steve. As a matter of fact, I got a funny story just about that. I'm going to tell in about 2 minutes. Me and my lady were talking about the whole Dr. Britt Baker situation that took place on NXT and crossed over to AEW, speaking of cross-promotion. But listen, I want to break something down for you guys, talk a little bit with you guys about something that's very important. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about something that I think is tremendously important. That's the education of our children. For those of us who are parents, okay, you're a mom, you're a dad, you're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're a godparent. It's imperative and so important to us that we make sure our children have the best opportunity to succeed, and we love them and we want them to grow and not only achieve their potential, but exceed their potential. And I'm going to tell you guys something. A good friend of mine from New Orleans, Louisiana, now from New York, by the name of Nicole Allen. She's a good friend of mine. She has a wonderful family, wonderful husband, 2 great sons, and she's taken the passion she has for her family and the love she has for her family, and she's put that love and passion into a tremendous book that she has written. It's a company that she's put together, Allen Powers Publishing LLC, and she's come up with this amazing character by the name of Siley G. Powers, and it's adorable. I'm smiling even as I break it down for you guys right now, and I really want you guys to hear about it. And I'm going to make sure you find out exactly where you can find this book and order it for your kids, because I'm going to tell you something right now. It's going to inspire generations to come. And it's just the beginning for her. She's doing amazing things with this book. And it's going to be the first book of a series. But this first book is about Siley G. Powers. And I'm going to break down this character for you guys right now. And I dare you as I read about this adorable character for you not to smile. Because I'm smiling right now. Because it's so wonderful what Nicole Allen's put together. So here's the story of Siley G. Powers. Siley G. Powers explores the world of science and engineering through her favorite things. When Siley wears her magic safety glasses, she is transported to a new world where members of her doll collection come to life to teach the lessons. The first book in the series, Radiant Rainbow, explains a basic principle of physics, the separation of light, as demonstrated by the formation of a rainbow. It's so cute. It's so adorable. You know what I'm saying? I think any parent will want this for their children. The story of Siley G. Powers jumping off the page in Radiant Rainbow. And it's the beginning of a series of books and illustrations and writings that Nicole Allen's going to come out with. So I'm going to make sure everybody knows where to find this book. I'm going to put a link to the website in the description of this particular episode of the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly podcast. I'm putting the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly stamp of approval on this product because I know it's going to be great. For my kids, for your kids, for everybody's kids, I think it's going to be a tremendous asset to the education and upliftment of our children. So shout out to Nicole Allen, your wonderful family. Shout out to your husband. Shout out to your sons. Shout out to your whole company. I think you're doing amazing things. And I want all my listeners out there right now to check her out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find her at SCIELIEGPOWERS, Siley G. Powers on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you will find a link to the website to order your own copy of Radiant Rainbow on the website right at the bottom of the description of this podcast. So once again, Nicole Allen, Siley G. Powers, Radiant Rainbow. So Steve, back to what I was talking about this story, about what my lady and I were talking about. Really funny story. Yeah, so funny story. I was talking to my lady, and she's not a tremendous wrestling fan, and certainly not a journalist like we are, but she's definitely a fan. And she just, I remember her saying, like, that's stupid. Why would AEW, like, do the whole spoof thing? Like, that's corny. That doesn't make any... It was, like, one of the most simplistic outlooks, but it was so accurate when she just said, as somewhat of a novice, as a wrestling fan, right? She, a novice, saying, that's dumb. Like, you know, and it really was.
Yeah, it simply was, yes.
You know, and it's like, you just look back on it, and it's like, man, like, okay, like, you got free... Look, the whole idea of Britt Baker being on WWE television was pretty awesome to begin with. WWE made a massive mistake, and instead of, you know, playing it off and saying, hey, that's good stuff, it's like, okay, we want to do a spoof about it. But it goes back to your point earlier about how you should never acknowledge the competition because it gives them free press, it gives them free exposure when you're trying to overtake them and trying to be the number one wrestling brand in the company. And let's call a spade, AEW is not the number one wrestling brand, in the world, but it has the potential to be if it just does what it does, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, just stay focused, do what you need to do, and get stuff done. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, it doesn't really need to be any more complicated than that, because if you make it more complicated, then it opens yourself up to issues and situations that you do not need to be dealing with.
Most definitely. You know, we're about to wrap this thing up, man. But before we do, I want to ask you one more question, and it's so important as it pertains to the upkeep and the moving forward of AEW. Well, 1 year out, you know, and it's been a tremendous ride so far, and it makes me feel really excited about the future. When you look at the prospect of where AEW can go, what is your outlook on the future? What is your outlook on Cody Rhodes as a business manager and a wrestler? What is your outlook on the Elite being the top, you know, I guess, faction in all of not only wrestling, but all of wrestling business. What is your outlook on the women's division? What is your outlook on AEW and its future potential?
Well, first off, the women's division, I think, needs some improvement in AEW. I think that's its, issue. In regards to the company, tag team division looks fine and solid. The men's division, but the women's division, I think, is a little lacking. I mean, I do enjoy it. It's not terrible. It's just something that I think needs some improvement in regards to talent and also in regards to their storylines, would also be great as well. Yeah, they may have more than WWE is, and that's what we, as WWE fans or journalists, talk about WWE and their issues of not having more than just the champions and storyline. But in AEW, I think they're trying a little too much and putting out too thick. So hopefully that improves, and hopefully having a better and at least sturdy women's division. Men's division staying as well as it has been with your top talents there, and Jericho is your champion, and other champions to be crowned in the future. I think there's no need of fixing there for sure. The tag team division's solid, you know, maybe a little bit improved, but not too much there. I think they're pretty well set. And I think is for AEW overall, for Cody Rhodes, his company, I think, again, staying the course and having your vision and focused on that vision, whatever it be, whatever your plan is for the company, 5 years, 10 years, whatever out, 2 years out, however you think, stick to it. Don't let anything deter from it, whether good or bad things happening, you know, and keep that eye on the prize. And I think AEW will be fine, and they will be successful, and they will be able to match in regards to WWE and maybe even surpass in some areas in regards to that, and continue to put on great shows. You know, with AEW Dynamite going up against WWE NXT each and every Wednesday night, you know, just keeping the course. Well, you know, signing talents, think you're best for your company, not having to always bring WWE, former WWE superstars over, sort of thing. Unless you feel they do have and serve an actual purpose, you're not just bringing over there because you can, sort of thing. Because that, in its own way, can be a negative.
Absolutely.
But,
you're 100% right.
So AEW's going to be fine, AEW's going to be good, but I think the women's division is what's going to need the most change, because it has not impressed me at all. And I think that's unfortunate, because they do have the talent in that division. So I'm not saying they're all bad and worthless. No, they're not. It's just that division and, let's say, a couple of storylines that are just like, no, to me. So I think that's the biggest thing that needs to be improved to me. And I'm sure they will get on that. I'm sure Brandy will be the Stephanie McMahon of AEW. So hopefully that is the case.
Hopefully it is the case indeed. You know, Steve, it's been a lot of fun, man. I want to thank you once again for coming on the show. I think the future for AEW is bright. And I'll tell you what, I think the future for Steve's Wrestling Ramble is bright. So please let the world know a little bit more about yourself, where they can find you, and your social media outlets.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a pleasure. I thank you for having me. And for me, you guys can, guys, gals, wherever you're listening, however you may be listening, you're welcome to find me on Twitter at TheRamble_WWE, or also my personal handle at Army_Strong_06. Also, I'm trying to work on using more of my Facebook fan page to search Steve's Wrestling Ramble, but definitely the YouTube channel, of course, where the shows are each and every week on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. or if not 7 p.m. Central. That is youtube.com/user/Kapleen08. Again, that's youtube.com/user/Kapleen08. And again, thank you for having me on your show.
Been an honor, man. I'll be seeing you down the road for the for your Royal Rumble preview. Am I right?
Yes, sir. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. So with that being said, man, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you guys for keeping Hubbard Wrestling Weekly in your thinking as far as where to get some good wrestling and combat sports knowledge. Make sure you check out the YouTube page, man. Got some really cool stuff on there. Back Bellator 222 back in the summer when I interviewed Chael Sonnen, the Hall of Famer from Bellator and UFC. So many cool stuff. You know, interviewing Rory McDonald, the Bellator welterweight champion of the world. I mean, there's been so many cool moments that we've had here on Hubbard Wrestling Weekly, and this is just another one to add to the list. Steve of the Wrestling Ramble, we're so happy to have had you. And I'm going to tell you guys something. Without you guys, I'm nothing, man. I know it sounds corny. I know it sounds cliche, but all my fans out there, I don't care if it's one, I don't care if it's a million, but I thank each and every one of you. I check my numbers, as I always do. I have listeners in all 50 states and internationally, and that is a true blessing. God bless each and every one of you. So on behalf of Steve of the Wrestling Ramble, I am your host and founder, Sean Hubbard, and this has been the very first edition in 2020, that is, of the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly Podcast. We'll check you next time. Peace.
You have been listening to the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly Podcast, which is an original production of HubbardWrestlingWeekly.com. Hubbard Wrestling Weekly is an independently owned company. The opinions and ideas of its host and studio guest are theirs and theirs alone, as Hubbard Wrestling Weekly is not associated with any professional wrestling, mixed martial arts, or boxing organization. Hubbard Wrestling Weekly, the very best in professional wrestling and combat sports.